Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there. It's time for another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. Lots of things to talk about this week. We got hurricanes. We got DACA. We got everything happening.
General world-ending type stuff.
We have Southern California on fire. We have the Gulf underwater. We have the Caribbean underwater.
We have Amy Guth accusing me of blocking her on Twitter. I did not. I
do believe that you have blocked me on Twitter, but I like that you just checked.
I just checked. I was like,
in a fit of rage, right. Like, fuck her and her stupid mouth.
In one of my Dairy Queen hazes was like,
I have a question for you about that. Mm. What is the difference between a blizzard and Shake Shack? They have the concretes.
It's the same general idea, just Shake Shack is ripping off the DQ.
I kind of knew you were going to say that. I just needed to check.
Yeah.
Because it's more than a milkshake. I saw someone get one of those in line ahead of me because, you know, cheese fries await. And I was like, that there looks like a blizzard. I mean, no one turned it upside down per se, but I was like, that's totally a blizzard.
Yeah. Even McDonald's, what do they have? The McFlurries? You know, it's all the same. Everybody just wanting to be a part of the queen, not being able to get
the
there.
The queen. He's got lingo around Dairy Queen for crying out loud. I don't know when the last time I don't think I've been in a McDonald's in a very long time. Oh, I forgot to turn my phone off yet again.
Ding.
That's my little ringtone. Anyway, so I just needed to get that out of the way before we begin the show.
Okay.
I need some ice cream knowledge. Okay.
Nice. And you're not blocked on Twitter, so you're good. Don't worry.
Thanks.
You're still in the circle of trust.
That's good. So then why do I miss all your shit? Maybe I've blocked you on
Twitter.
Yeah,
there you go. Or maybe you've just tuned me out. Like your
I
eyes.
I just ignore you.
Your eyes just naturally like don't see it anymore.
Like with confirmation bias. Right. Like if it doesn't agree with your thoughts and structures. Then you just don't even remember seeing it. It's like that. I just don't even know that I see your shit on Twitter.
There's only so much stupid anyone can absorb. You're at max capacity now.
Totally. I've reached terminal velocity of stupid. No. Let's talk about the Hurricane Irma situation, because that seems most pressing at this hour.
Yeah.
Immediately, of course, it was like the media is only caring about Florida. I'm like, no.
Really? People were saying? I didn't even hear
immediately, that. Immediately, like 6 o'clock this morning, people were saying that. I was like, oh, stop.
There was a hell of a lot of coverage of Texas. I mean, and Harvey,
Well, they were talking with Irma. They're like, oh, people are just worried about Florida, not Caribbean islands.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant that it was getting more hype. Than
No.
Oh, whoa.
And
okay,
I'm like,
sorry.
Guys, it hasn't hit an island yet.
Yeah, it just did this early this morning.
And also, like there are probably just more people tracking, meteorologists who are trained, tracking shit in Florida than in the Leeward Islands.
Sure, yeah.
But then as soon as it passed over like Anguilla and St. Martin, a lot of tweets started emerging and people were tweeting and showing pictures. And there's one picture of, because Anguilla is only accessible by boat. I've been to that island. You have to take a boat from St. Martin.
Cool.
It's very, very beautiful when it's not submerged. And there's a little kind of port. I mean, it's a tiny little marina area where you kind of dock when you come in. And it was, I mean, the destruction is unbelievable. And so the interior minister, the French interior minister of St. Martin said earlier that the four strongest buildings on St. Martin have been destroyed, and they're government buildings. So I'm sure, you know, houses. I think the casualties are going to be unbelievable. It's too soon to tell. I mean, it's happening now. Like, the eye has just passed over it this morning.
Right.
So we don't even know what we're looking at this point. So, again, it was just like, oh, shit, here we go. With like, oh, the media only cares about Florida because that's where white people are. I'm like, I'm sure there's somebody that has the same kind of job that we do that maybe thinks that somewhere in the fucking world, but probably not.
Well, yeah. And also, that's Florida is by no means all white people.
Also that.
Yeah. And also, you know, it is a massive area of densely populated, you know, destination for that hurricane to hit. So, I mean, concern about Florida is legitimate. It doesn't mean you don't also care about the places that are getting hit in the interim here.
And I think,
but that's just logical that you're going to.
Right. I think maybe there's also some confusion about the reason for mentioning Florida is because when a hurricane hits a large landmass, it tends to lose steam quickly. But going over smaller islands, I mean, Hurricane Irma is larger than all of the UK. If you like take it, somebody did that. Some meteorologist like scooted it over on a map, and it consumes all of it there.
Yeah, yeah, it's enormous.
So, you know, Anguilla is a very tiny, teeny little island. It's not going to stop it or slow it down at all.
Mm-mm.
And it's relatively flat. St. Martin has hills, but still, it's very, very tiny. Like at one point, they're both in the eye. It's so little.
Right.
So even like Puerto Rico, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Cuba, not going to slow it down that much, and I'm just like, understand there's a fucking reason for people mentioning shit. Like when it hits a continental body of land, it's going to generally slow down a little bit and lose some steam.
Sure.
Everybody chill the fuck out. I'm a little sensitive about the media narrative today. I always am, but especially today. Had a little rough thing happening last night at the DACA. Protests. Mm-hmm. I go to stuff and get audio. Just got a lot of like fuck the media kind of stuff thrown at me to my face.
Always so. Makes us feel good.
It does. I'm not mid existential career crisis though, and by that I mean I totally am. So I was thinking that I could sell jam because that is not a stressful job.
I often think about painting houses. Because I am very good at painting the interior of houses.
We should start a business. I've worked for a painting business
before. Oh, I thought you meant a jam and painting.
No. But whatever. We'll leave Guth and Hupke on paint.
Come for the house painting, stay for the jam.
We have a second career worked out. No, I painted houses, interiors and exteriors for a very long time. I, too, am very good at painting.
Yeah, I'm super. Like, I can't hire anybody.
No, even if I'm the same way. Like, nope, yeah, I'm painting my own
shit.
Even
if I could afford it, I couldn't, which I can't. But
I wouldn't
be, because I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, it looks terrible. So, yeah, I'm really.
Yeah, even if I had more than $17 to my name and could hire someone to paint shit. Nope, nope.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, anyway.
But yes, anyway. I agree with you. There are. And you know, the thing is, we're so, you know, I almost, and I know, things like this bring out so much chatter, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a massive event, like either Hurricane Harvey or now Irma, and there's, I guess, like two more coming, it sounds like, but it generates so much chatter and so much gets lost. And it's like everybody is flaming everybody else over one issue or the other. Or, you know, you send a tweet relating to climate change and somebody's like, well, climate change isn't weather, moron. And, you know, like, and you just, and it's just
everybody
like,
focus.
Like, I really, sometimes I don't know why we put our, we meaning you and I and others who are on Twitter and that sort of thing, put ourselves in this pool where everybody thinks they have a voice that needs to be heard, when in fact, a lot of them really don't need to be heard at all and should shut up. So it's kind of torturous sometimes. I actually, yeah, I had a tweet that I sent yesterday that was a joke about, like, you know, I'm sorry I can't hear you explaining why climate change is a hoax over the sound of this Category 5 hurricane that's, you know, exceeded, well, whatever, blah, blah, something. It was funnier when you read it correctly. But anyway, it went nuts for whatever reason. I didn't even think it was that funny. Somebody big retweeted it and on it went. And it just, like, my mentions in Twitter just became a colossal shitstorm of just ridiculous people on both sides of the, you know, like, people who believe in climate change arguing, like, the nuance. And I was, and I'm like, it's a joke, guys. Come on. I was like, everybody chill out. I mean, it was just, like, it was so annoying. I had to mute everything on that because I couldn't take it anymore. It was just ridiculous.
So what do you think about I've been thinking about this because I heard somebody say something about people that don't believe in climate change. I think we need to say that differently because essentially you're saying, like, I don't, you know, it's like saying someone who doesn't believe in light bulbs. Like, you don't have to believe in them. They're real. So I've been thinking about that. Maybe we should start saying that differently.
Well, but again, you get, I mean, technically I agree with you, yes, but then people are just going to push back and say
you're biased.
You're forcing your blah, blah on me. I think I almost prefer like to set up other examples. Like if you were thinking about going into a cave,
and, which I do all the time,
and nine barren cave experts who study which caves have bears in them say you shouldn't go in there because there's a bear. But one says, I'm not 100% sure there's a bear in there. Maybe, maybe not. Are you going to go with maybe, maybe not guy? Or are you going to go with the nine telling you there's a damn bear in the cave? And then maybe you, you know, start to reposition your thinking. Because that's really what you're dealing with, right, with climate change. Yes, there are.
Somebody would be like, bearist, pushing your bear agenda on me, and my right, denying my right to go into
I'm
caves.
I'm going into that cave. I mean, but that's the thing is, it's like, why? And that's where that's where I don't understand. I feel like the climate change deniers are, it's almost like a club that people want to belong to because it makes them, it sets them apart somehow or whatever. But, you know, the reality to me is that, okay, people get real literal when you say it's settled science. They're like, well, no, it's not, because some people disagree. I'm like, okay, that's not really what settled science means in the actual science world.
There's some people that think the Holocaust didn't happen,
exactly.
Here we are, motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever. But, I mean, you know, you get into the so much into the weeds in that, and it's incredibly annoying, and it makes people very hard to reason with. But at the end of the day, what I always want to say is, like, why would you not want to err on the side of caution? What harm is coming from proceeding with how we live our lives, how we operate things, how we regulate industry and that sort of thing in a way that cuts down on the amount of crap that's going out into the world that we live in? Why? Why would you not do that? I don't, you know, the argument that, oh, nature has cycles and this is just, it happens all the time. Okay, but are you you're saying that climate change isn't settled science? Is your sort of Luddite argument here that nature has cycles, is that settled science? I mean, like, you know, you're not factoring in all of the things we do now, all the chemicals we put in. It just baffles me, and I've never been able to understand why people are not willing to just say, look, we may not agree that this is absolutely 100% true, but hell, let's not walk into the cave that might have a bear in it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what do you stand to gain by being right in that one?
Yeah, and the only...
Like, fuck you guys being cool to the environment, loser. Like, what are you doing? All you're doing is arguing for your right to pollute shit as much as you possibly can and want to.
Right, and that only affects, you know, big industry. I mean, it affects industries. It affects power plant, you know, people that run and own power plants and coal mines and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it doesn't... And people will say, well, that affects jobs. I'm like, yeah, not really. I mean, are you sure it affects it that much versus, you know, jobs created through trying to, you know, operate a cleaner system of energy and this, that, and the other thing? So it frustrates me. And it's just stubbornness, you know?
It's really stubbornness. And I think it's kind of that thing where everybody sort of wants to be right. Everybody wants to think they have some kind of insider info. You know, I think especially around conspiracy shit, there's always a really, you random guy sitting in a living room in suburban fucking Arkansas or California, wherever the fuck you are, like, really, you're going to be the one guy in the whole world that thinks that you have it figured out, where millions of very brilliant people have just been working on some problem and you've got it. Good job. Now, I will say there's some shit that average citizens have figured out when the professionals didn't. We know about Lyme disease because of that, because that was moms who figured that out, whose kids all had it after these tick bites and where doctors were misdiagnosing it. So I'm going to give it to you on that. Like, sometimes you do need fresh eyes, but not like random armchair fucking vigilante internet conspiracy guy.
At Packers fan 79 no homo, I think he's got some really good
you've heard from that guy too. He texts me every single week and it'd call me a communist.
Yes, he is a
let me clarify that. Text the radio station, not me.
There you go.
I don't give out my phone number. Let me just be clear on that one. But I think there is something to that. I think a lot of people kind of have this idea that they can be this kind of badass vigilante and do their little amateur gotcha journalism thing. Like, get the fuck out of here. I mean, there was this really infuriated me. And this is not the first time this has happened to me. Somebody with like a fucking blog spot, which is nothing wrong with that, but whatever. Somebody with their little Blogspot blog sent me a thing, you know, on the Twitter. Said, I reported from Kabul. Check it out. And I was like, who is this person? Like, what is this? And I looked at it because I had nothing to do at that moment, apparently. And it's like it's a dude with a blog talking about, basically, it's the conjecture blog. And he's looking at reported pieces from the Middle East and then saying, but he starts his fucking blog post like reporting live from so-and-so. I was like, dude, but your bio says like you're a dude in Missouri somewhere. What, like, I don't understand. So it's like, you don't understand what you're saying. You're not reporting from there. Right. You're not, you know, and then he like gave me some shit. I need to just block him. But he like gave me some shit on Twitter because I was like not reporting from Harvey. I was like, well, I'm not in Houston, so I don't think you understand what that means.
Right.
I can point out other people's reporting.
Sure.
What are we doing, Hupke? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Does my entire career matter? I don't know that it does today. I think I have done nothing but been spinning my wheels for like more than 20 fucking years for people who don't give a shit about information. And that's where I am today.
Well, and this is the problem. Look, I've said this a lot, and it comes out sounding awful, and I know it does, but I don't care because I think it's right. The democratization of... maybe democratization, not the right word. The rise of social media and all and blogs and everything else, these platforms that allow people, anybody, to communicate and to have a megaphone of some sort, of varying sizes, is awful because there are, you know, look, let's put it this way. Before this, you didn't have everybody out on the street corner screaming their opinion. You only had the crazy.
That would have been awesome.
You only had the crazy people, okay? And now, every damn person's a crazy person because they think they can get on and they have something that needs to be heard. And that is incorrect. And I'm sorry, but I don't care what someone with no journalistic training thinks about certain serious world events, you know, communicated via a 140 character tweet, for example. So, you know, it's like, I don't want to say they don't have the right to do that, because of course you have the right to, we have a right to free speech. But what I'm saying is that the system that we operate in has demolished the sort of more responsible and actually trained. Look, this would be like if everybody was their own damn electrician. Okay.
Shit would blow up.
Yeah, exactly. People would be electrocuting themselves right and left, and houses wouldn't have lights that work. And that's what you've got with sort of, and I guess, you know, like I said, kind of the democratization of media, if you want to call you want to call it. But, and I mean, it's good because it's given voice to some people who did not have voices and who needed to have voices. But at the same time, it's given voices to every moron on earth. And those voices are used to shout down people that actually know what they're doing. People get mad at us and say, what right do you have to say? And I say, you know what? I have 20 damn years of doing this, and I'm a trained journalist, and, you know, I have worked my way through, and I understand, you know, fairness, and I understand accuracy, and I understand the importance of facts and the importance of, you know, where you get your information and that sort of thing. And so there's a difference, and that difference matters very little now.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
I think there's some like distinctions to be made.
Yeah, there definitely are. Now I'm painting in a widely broad brush when I say that, but you know.
Well, I mean, I think there's a difference between having a voice and attempting to commit an act of journalism.
Right. And there's just no line though.
Right. And that's where that's what's like when random guy who just said start on a fucking Blogspot thing, who doesn't know anything about journalism, believes that we are actively competing for the same thing, and then blames me for, by the way, sidebar tangent, the phrase picked up by is a phrase that needs to go away. Cause it's like, I'm not a fucking wire service. And if you tweet your shitty fucking blog post thing, your Blogspot thing at me, and it's crazy and it's inaccurate and it's nothing but conjecture, or even if it's just your opinion, you have the right to write all the opinion shit you want. Everybody in the world does. That's fine. But to call it reporting, send it to me, and when I don't do anything with it, to then criticize me really openly in a public forum saying the mainstream media refused to pick it up, this is a conspiracy. Sure. Like, even if you had something, like the only way I would do anything with your fucked up blog post is if you were the witness to something.
Yeah.
Like, here's an example of when that shit worked. there was like a citizen in Ferguson who whipped out her phone and started live streaming shit when everything went down initially in Ferguson, mm-hmm. when most journalists could not get in and there was like, we were being prevented from getting in.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were pointing to her. That doesn't mean I'm reporting from Ferguson. I'm saying, here's someone who's standing there holding her phone out, getting video of these events as they're unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Like, that's the circumstance in which someone will pick up your fucking thing.
Yeah.
But like this pick up. Anyway, I'm so mad. Further, I sent a little Twitter flurry out because the Politico story about DACA being rescinded came out like Sunday night, or I guess Monday. What, it was Sunday or Monday,
Sunday or
saying
Monday.
Like,
I think it might have been Sunday.
Now, the headline is not the headline I would have written,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? My colleagues at Politico have done fine work, and I don't work there, so
yeah.
I don't get a say. But it said, like, it basically said it was a done, kind of made it sound like it was a done deal instead of maybe adding, like, colon, sources.
Sure.
You know, at the end.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you, not you, royal you, people, are too fucking lazy to click through and even read the first goddamn motherfucking paragraph of a story, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear you whining about the media later, because it said in there clearly, according to, and it was like, according to unnamed sources familiar with his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That is by no means an announcement about DACA.
No.
And so I pulled that out and I highlighted it in a tweet and I was like, here, I just want it, like, I'm sure this is how it's going to go, but I just want to highlight that this is not an official announcement and it is made by unnamed sources familiar with his thinking. Like, that's the least official fucking shit I've ever heard in my life.
Especially when you consider the subject who is allegedly thinking.
Right. First of all, you are alleging that he is thinking.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I've had a rough week, Hokie. And it ain't about me. And that's the thing. I actually don't want to get into everything that happened last night at the DACA rally because it's not about me. I'm in no danger of getting deported. I'm in no danger.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. Give it time. You know, it's not about me, but I was really pissed and I don't know. I feel like a little betrayed is the word I want, but not really. And I feel like a little bit of the fuck are we doing? Or what the fuck am I doing?
Mm-hmm. Well,
frankly, I woke up this morning and I was like, is anything I'm fucking doing, does it even fucking matter? And I shouldn't let it get to me, but it has gotten to me because I think I'm tired and I've already said I'm going to die on that hill, but nonetheless.
Yeah, well, it's a, look, right now, I don't think you're alone in journalists questioning things, right, in the current time that we are existing in.
And what a shitty narrative, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my great ancestor, Amy Guth, used to work at this place, and then she went to insert some bullshit, horrible job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a very good story because it's like, because she couldn't fucking stand the heat.
No, it's not a matter of not standing the heat, though. I mean, this is more than that. I mean, this is, again, we, you know, people, as you said, it's not about, well, we're kind of making it about us, I guess, a little bit, but that's just a temporary thing. But the, to be a journalist right now is to be under almost constant assault by assholes
and scrutiny and yeah
and assholes on all sides,
yeah,
not simply on the right, and to have the president of the United States declaring us un-American, and you know, this and the other, to see rallies where people are shouting down journalists, to be at times legitimately afraid as a journalist because, you know, people, crazy people, are seeing you potentially as a threat to the country or as a bad person for whatever reason, and then again, that reason can come from one side or the other. So it's hard. And then to see people respond to the hard work that journalists do and just try to delegitimize it if it doesn't fit perfectly with their worldview or what have you, it's just, yeah, it feels a little bit like you're trying to swim upstream and not necessarily winning. Make us sound too much like salmon.
I don't even like to say hard work. Like, I'm not hauling lumber, and I'm not digging ditches.
No, but
and I'm not making license plates, and I'm not being exploited. I mean, I don't.
No, I know that, but there's no. It's not a look. I mean, sorry, but I mean, It's hard. What we do is hard. And it's not hard physically. We're not doing manual labor. But there's still nothing wrong with saying that it's hard.
I'm not curing cancer either. It's not that hard mentally. It's like common sense and practice and training, I think.
Yeah, but it's taxing, though. I mean, look, again, you wouldn't be upset with us right now if it wasn't. And you wouldn't feel worn down right now if it wasn't. So, again,
I'm not getting deported.
Right. I'm not trying to concoct a pity party for journalists by any means. But the reality of it is that, you know, it's a fundamentally important profession. And it's a profession that is under immense pressure and stress right now on a lot of different fronts. And, you know, that whatever, we have to deal with that. I mean, that's our thing. And I still feel very, and I know you do too, feel very lucky to be able to do what we do. But, you know, it is one of the many things in this country that we need to improve, you know.
Yeah.
And the President of the United States is not helping a damn bit.
No.
I mean, it's just really
not helping
really
at
bad.
All. And I'm kind of, I'm torn between, like, well, I'm not doing it to be rewarded. I'm doing it because storytelling is important. Like, that's why I think we all got into it. Either you went into law or you went into journalism. You know what I mean? I mean, I think a lot of the same kind of people were driven into those two professions by the same thing. So it's like, on one hand, I'm not in it because I want glory. I'm in it because I want to tell stories. And I'm doing that whether or not someone is shitty to me at an event or not. I'm still telling those stories.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like, I don't know, maybe it's selfish, but, like, you know, part of me wants to
open up a jam shop.
feel like the work that I do matters. And today I don't know that I can say that confidently.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Believe me. I mean, but you just kind of keep going. I mean, you know, I don't think you can let let me put it this way. This is what I've found, is that you get hammered and hammered and hammered, and it starts to wear at you, and then something happens, and that lifts you back up. I think last week I wrote a column about the that insane evangelical Nashville statement that was super anti-LGBT and just drove me nuts. I mean, it was just this ridiculous, it was bigotry disguised as religion, and it was horrible. And so I wrote a response to that and, you know, basically said, if this gets me kicked out of the club, if this means I can't believe in God anymore, or I don't get to go to heaven, well, so be it, because I'd rather...
I'll save you a seat.
Right. I was like, I'll stand...
warmer section.
Right. I'll stand with people who believe that all humans are good and have value and that sort of thing. So, we both just, you know, are getting a ton of all sorts of negative feedback all the time and whatever, and you roll with it, but... I got an email from a young guy, I think like in his 20s, in London. He was had moved to London because his family, I forget where, I think it might have been Oklahoma, when he came out, no doubt, you know, we're not having it. And he had to leave. And it was this really long, he told his whole story. It was this really, really long, really personal email. And towards the end of it, he said, I just want to thank you for making me see that people who have voices that can, you know, travel some distance, you know, care, and that I'm not alone, and whatever.
That's nice.
And that was, that fixes a lot of things. You know what I mean? I'll take, you know, 1,000 bullshit, you're an asshole emails, you know, to get one of those, you know? So I think that's a...
Yeah. I feel like terrible for even, I shouldn't have even brought any of this shit up, you know, because it's not like I didn't have really, there weren't really good interviews. Like, all week I've been on this, like, let me tell you about the good interviews I've had in the last week. Saturday I had Will Wheaton on my show. He's really awesome. And then on Labor Day I talked to Jesse Jackson and former Governor Quinn and Alderman Rosa, and had some great interviews with just people in the crowd at the Labor Day thing. And that was awesome. And I had plenty of good interviews yesterday at the DACA thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, I know, it's one of those things, I used to call it the Starbucks lid phenomenon, where you're like having all this shitty shit and you just like suck it up and suck it up, and then like the lid falls off your coffee and you just weep over it. You know, it's like that. It's like, so it's like, no, like a couple of bad apples aren't, you know, ruining the whole thing. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I'm being a baby. I need to just shut the fuck up and look at the bigger picture.
No, you gotta, I mean, I think anybody, and I'll say that to broaden this to our audience more generally, though, everybody gets to this point. You know what I mean? And I don't think denying yourself the right to feel that way is good. You know what I mean? I don't think we need to just suck it up all the time. So, you know, I mean, we all get worn down by what
we're going to get into some weird childhood tapes now.
Whatever we're doing.
Like,
but no, I mean, and people have to, I don't care what you do. Everybody get, you know, things get hard and you may feel, and you're right. I mean, it's true. Like anytime I gripe about things, I'm like, well, Jesus, right. Listen to me, Mr. You know, doesn't have to, you know,
I'm not doing manual
work in
labor.
The field, right, or something, right. Like that. You know what I mean? And I'm right. Blessed and I, for my, you know, I, right. I take care of my, you know, our family, we're stable and all that, you know, so. But that doesn't mean you don't, you know, hit those walls and have those feelings. And I don't think it's good to deny yourself that.
Oh, but I'm the queen of sucking it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't need feelings. Feelings are dumb.
So, but I do have a short Jesse Jackson anecdote
Tell
to
me.
Share, though. One time I interviewed him while he was peeing.
He was not peeing while I was speaking to him.
Yeah, okay. Well,
he was standing in a wind tunnel, though, and I found the audio very difficult to edit.
Yeah, I imagine that would be a little tricky.
But I did get, like, one moment the wind stopped for him to say something about how one of the last acts on Earth that MLK did was to defend hospital workers and garbage workers.
Yeah.
So, like, the wind stopped long enough for him to say that. But he was saying really beautiful and profound things before that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be so great in this audio profile I'm doing. Yeah, and the whole thing was just like... I was like, God damn it, I can't even hear him in the playback.
Yeah, he came to the... I was writing a story. I don't recall what it was about. This was a long time ago. But I was writing a story, and I actually needed a comment from him. And somebody said, oh, well, he's meeting with the editorial board today. I was like, what? Oh, okay, great. So I went over to the editorial board, and he was walking out. And I said, oh, Reverend Jackson, I wondered if I could talk to you real quick for the story that I'm doing. And he's walking, like, he's got his whole group with him and everything and stuff. And he's like, sure, come along and let's talk and walk. I was like, okay, sure. And so I'm asking him questions, and then he just walks into the bathroom. And I'm like, should I wait? No, okay, I guess. And
still so, got questions.
Yeah, so he goes over to the urinal, and he starts peeing, and I just kind of, like, standing over by the sink, like, okay, so anyway. And
I
he
feel
never...
like I've heard this story somewhere in Tribune lore.
At no point did he stop talking, which was brilliant. I mean, he didn't have to be, excuse me, I have to pee real quick. It was just like, nope, just keep going.
Right,
keep going,
not pardon me a second.
All the way out the bathroom, like the whole night.
Wait,
yards.
Have you told this story on this podcast before?
Oh, I might have. This could be a
I feel like I've heard it, but it might be it might just be part of Tribune lore.
Maybe. It was a funny moment, I'll say that much. Anyway, that's off subject, but worth sharing, I thought.
I'm sure he's thrilled that that story's out.
Yes.
Ah, good times. Okay, so let us switch a little to... I really am so concerned with all of the hurricanes, and I mean, weather is personally interesting to me. I like data, so it's interesting to watch them and like all the predictive models and all that. But I just think there's a, you know, the human toll is going to be very profound this hurricane season already.
Oh yeah,
you know, already we have, you know, if I'm very concerned with what Irma does when she gets to Cuba. Like, she's either going to turn up and go up the side of the Atlantic mm-hmm. coast, and there's, like, a chance she could, you know, send some more bad weather Houston's way. And I'm just like, please no with that. And then we have Jose right behind her
right.
coming in.
And there's another one off in the Gulf, like, over by Mexico right now in the Gulf that's starting to form, apparently. Is it? Because it's Irma, Jose, it might be Catarina or Catalina, I think, or something like that.
Sure. Has there ever been a hurricane, Amy? Has there ever been a hurricane Rex?
Let me tell you, there's a hurricane.
She's here every Wednesday.
I run into that every Wednesday. No, I don't believe there's been a hurricane Rex. I'm not sure about an Amy or not. I'll have to dig that up. Get our crack research team on that.
Who do I need to bribe to not have that happen? That'd be good. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about DACA a little bit.
No. Just that I did a column today that just laid out the unquestionable string of actions by this administration that are cruel and unnecessary. Going back to the Muslim ban, you know, banning transgender people, the stupid wall in the first place, you know, there's so many. And this, you're just like, you know, this did not need to happen. And also, just to make it super current here, at least for in the moment, the logic that Trump is supposedly using here is just completely baffling, because he rolls Sessions out to say they're ending it, you know, because of rule of law, blah, blah, blah. And also trotting out the tired and false narrative that these DACA kids are costing hardworking Americans their jobs. That has, you know, the effect of immigrants on labor has been, it just isn't, if anything, it's more of a net positive in the end than it is in it. So anyway, so that's stupid, but that's what they're basing it. Okay, so they're basing their decision to end this in part on the fact that America first, rah, rah. Okay, but then he's saying in the same sentence practically, so he's calling on Congress to fix this. Fix this means keep them here. So on the one hand, we're ending it because they are taking jobs away from hardworking Americans. On the other side, on the other hand, we're going to keep them here. So you just blew your fucking argument out of the water right there. And then he came around again today and said that if Congress doesn't fix it, he'll revisit it again in 6 months, which means then you go back to the original argument about rule of law. So that means he'd have to find some kind of an executive order approach, which is, I mean, you know, he's destroyed in a period of less than 24 hours, just obliterated his own stupid argument for undoing this in the first place. I mean, it's so maddening, the level of stupidity behind this. And the sole goal here is to please a bunch of people who are mean.
There was a little child at the DACA rally last night that had a sign that said something like, "You are a bad man."
Yeah,
and I was like, this 5-year-old has nailed it right here.
You are a very, very bad man.
Right. I was like, yes. In summation, yes. I want to say more explicitly what really all of these things point to. And I'm by no means the first, but we're talking about, like, mind-bogglingly grotesque. I mean, all layers and levels of it is grotesque, but we're talking about major league white supremacy. We're talking about major league male privilege. We're talking about, if you are not straight, white, male, cisgender, then you can go fuck yourself, is what we're really talking about here.
And yeah, and when I actually sat down and put together all of the things that have been done in the 8 whatever months we've had here, including DACA, there is no other conclusion that you can draw, because the only group that has not been impacted by this stuff in a negative way,
right,
are straight white dudes, are people that look like Donald Trump, basically.
There are others that look like him? Because that hair, I haven't seen that kind of hair since like the 80s. But no, I hear you.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's absolutely true. And I will fist fight anyone who tries to disagree with that. And
oh, someone disagreed just because they want to see a good fist fight.
Big fisticuffs.
He just turned into like that kind of little puppet just now with the punching.
I will throw down. Yeah, no, but seriously, admit it. That's what I want to say. You know?
Right. Like, just admit it. Just come out and admit that you are super white supremacy guy.
Yeah.
Just say.
Because, I mean, if you do all the what a coward to do all this crap and then not, you know, really explain your intent in doing it.
He doesn't need to. It doesn't matter.
And I don't mean just him. I mean the supporters, too. I want to hear them say it. You know, I want to hear them defend, you know, a decision to completely screw up the lives of 800,000 productive, at least high school educated young people with relatively squeaky clean records based on the requirements of the program itself. And that's the other problem, too, is that nobody knows what the hell. Nobody who criticizes this actually knows how DACA works. I mean, you have to reapply. It doesn't give. It's not amnesty. None of these young people are being. They're not on a path to citizenship. They have to reapply every 2 years. Any serious felony or even a more serious misdemeanor will bonk them out of the program. They have to have at least a high school education and also or be enrolled in college, et cetera. And it only covers kids of, you know, a certain, I don't have the years in front of me, but a certain year range who were brought here during a certain range of years. I mean, it's just absolute insanity. The business community is saying don't do it. The American public, by about 3/4 of, you know, in polling, is saying don't do it. the only people that want this done are people that don't like immigrants, period, and want to kick as many brown people as possible out of the country. That's it. There's no other. I don't give a shit what anybody else says. Yeah. There is no other argument.
And it's really concerning the, you know, I've brought this up before, this idea of like who is and isn't a racist. And I mean, there is the overt racism that we see. I'm talking, you know,
screaming,
identifying yourself as a neo-Nazi, wearing a swastika, burning a cross in a yard, being part of the KKK, like David Duke, overt racist. Very clear, owns it. Yeah. We know exactly who we're dealing with there.
Right.
There is a very wide swath beyond that that's like, that doesn't believe they are racist because they have not done something violent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I heard a dude just the other day on the bus on his phone saying, quote, "I'm not racist. I just don't want my daughter to date him." And I was like, what the fuck? And I was just like, and I mean, the whole bus turned around and looked at this guy like, Jesus Christ, what's the matter with you? I mean, the entire busload full of people.
Unless the dude he's referring to is like a furry or something and that's the reason, then he's racist. Yeah.
But then why say that? Like, I don't mean to be an anti-furry, I don't want my daughter to date him. Right. So it's like the swath of people that believe, like, I'm not racist, but. Or the people that will be like, oh, I'm not a racist or anything. But let me tell you this joke. Like, what the black guy say to the bartender or whatever. Like, that, you're being a racist.
Right.
You're being a racist. Same thing like, well, I'm not sexist, but, like, if a woman didn't want to take my last name, I wouldn't fucking marry her. No, that's pretty sexist. Like, what's the matter with you?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm very concerned about the swath of people that's like, no, you are, and you need to own that you're sexist or racist or whateverist.
Or fix it. And that's the other thing, too, is that I think that people don't, I think they feel backed into a corner for whatever reason. If they have...
Who, the middle swath or the overt?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the middle swath. I think sometimes, like, so say somebody doesn't want to take a woman's last name. Okay.
A dude's last name.
A dude doesn't... Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Doesn't...
A woman doesn't want to take her dude's last name.
Yeah, I apologize.
Name.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Sorry about that. See, I can't even think. I can't even. I'm so not sexist.
You're such a feminist.
I can't even conceive
of
these. No, okay. So, and then somebody points out, okay, well, yeah, you are a sexist because of that. You know, too often the sort of white dude reaction is like, no, I'm not. As opposed to like, maybe take a second, take a breath and think,
well,
oh,
am I?
Wow. You know what? Honestly, that was, I don't know why I'm. Was thinking that way. I guess
like,
I totally get it.
Maybe I am thinking about dowry culture and ownership.
Right.
And I do want to feel like I own a woman. Okay, fair enough.
Right. And I mean, because, you know, so that doesn't, if you are having a racist or a sexist thought, or you're expressing something that's racist or sexist, does not mean you can't fix yourself.
Right.
And become a less offensive human being, or even a great, you know, I mean, because honestly, I mean, there are people who just don't get it because it's never been explained to them. You know what I mean? And I'm not using that as an excuse, but I'm saying that if that's pointed out to you and your reaction is to push back and say, no, I'm not, as opposed to say, whoa, hold on, maybe I need to reflect on myself a little bit. I mean, you know, then that's ridiculous. I mean, when I hear from people criticizing something I've written, I take a few minutes to be like, whoa, hold on, wait, did I overstep here? Did I, you know, and I try to figure it out. And I don't always agree, but I mean, you know, at the same time,
I can vouch for that. I feel like you've checked a couple things with me before.
Yeah.
Like, does this fucking asshole have a point? Nope. Okay.
Moving on. But no, I mean, seriously, like, and so it's just, if you responding to somebody's calling you or suggesting that you're racist or something you're thinking is, maybe not you're a racist, but you know, that.
Hey, that thought is racist.
Right. That thought is racist. You know, I can excuse people for not either thinking broadly enough or not having the sort of like institutional knowledge, you know, of their own to process why something is askew or whatever. Mm-hmm. And frankly, there's been plenty of times in my life when I have, you know, not been aware of something that might be offensive to somebody. I'm not talking about something flatly racist or sexist or something, but maybe there's an element of something that I was like, oh, wow, I didn't catch that. I just didn't know. And as soon as somebody tells me that, I'm not like, well, no, I'm not I have lots of gay friends, or, you know, I don't push back like that. I think, oh, crap. Okay, well, let me adjust my thinking here. And now I have learned something and I'm a better person. So the people's inability or unwillingness to do that is kind of appalling, I think, and shocking how much that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. I mean, I think it's difficult. It's human to not want to, you know, it's hard to be in student mode. It's hard to admit you're wrong.
Very.
Yeah. But I think we, holy shit, we've got to. I really think that the not overt racists and not overt sexists are grossly outnumber the extreme sexists and racists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but no comparison.
I think that's why I feel like we have this conversation when we have conversations about like hiring diversity. You know, the thing that shuts it down really fast is like, well, I didn't have any qualified applicants. Or did you not get the white guy answer that you wanted?
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's one thing to be like, is this person actually qualified, or would maybe a person not like me answer this in a different way?
Yeah.
And that's a start there. Because I'm so tired of that narrative when it's like, dude, I sent you 5 MBAs that were people of color. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like you had, and then you hired a guy with like an associate's degree. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. And think about after the election, and there was this huge pushback on not just journalists, but kind of a lot of people, you know, Hillary supporters, but I think a lot of this was directed at journalists to, you know, you didn't do enough to understand Trump voters. And I think a lot of journalists, myself included, really did sort of do some soul searching after that to think, okay, wait, what did I miss something fundamental here? What am I not understanding? But my point is that there, people on sort of Trump's side wanted everybody to kind of reevaluate their thinking because they thought people were being unfair to Trump supporters. But they are in no way, shape, or form that I'm able to see willing to do the same thing,
right?
You know, when it comes to people of, you know, that are not sort of like white and in their general demographic.
Right.
So,
well, the one I will give a lot is I don't think we did enough. We collectively,
I'm the media,
going my own rule here, but I think collectively, I don't know that we did enough. Plenty of people did, but I think collectively we didn't perhaps do enough initial scrub of him because he was such a joke. I don't think anybody took him seriously. I myself said, oh, please, he won't make it to the first debate.
Yeah.
Because it was like such an absurd idea that a reality show star would, you know, this like total business fuck up and reality star would get that far.
Right.
And admittedly, I didn't speak about him the same way I did about other candidates. I wasn't like reporting on them in a very profound and deep way. I was talking about them plural on the air, talking about as you know, so-and-so had a rally here and said the following, so-and-so was here. And I really didn't, I know that I did mention him, but I didn't go as in depth with even cursory research on him because I honestly did not take him seriously.
Yeah. By the time the serious reporting kicked in, he had developed a head of steam already and had also insulated himself with this sort of fake news narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
had,
that
had,
it didn't matter what was
right,
said.
It wasn't going to matter because there was plenty of good reporting, you know, later
certainly,
in the cycle.
Yeah.
But you're right. Early, well, and early would have been in the primary, you know, because once he was through the primaries, you know, he was the guy, so he was going to get a lot of GOP support anyway. I mean, the point where he needed to be stopped was in the primaries. And you're right. Everybody was like, you know, look at that bonehead. Yeah. It's going to be Rubio or Bush or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of people were like Cruz or Kasich, and, you know, a lot of people were talking about that. Like, I don't think it was.
Well, and honestly, I think a lot of the focus was on how from a you know, liberal commentators and stuff was on Cruz because Cruz was the one everybody was really afraid of.
Yeah.
Because he actually had a chance, people thought, and would be really disturbing in the White House. So, yeah. And so Trump just kind of, you know, you can't say he went under the radar because he actually dominated stuff, but he went under the radar in terms of, you know, could this guy actually win? And here we are. Yay.
Well, I still think it's gonna like get worse before it gets better.
That seems to be the trend line.
I mean, we close every show with that, like, oh, it's gonna get worse before it gets better.
If you're putting your money somewhere, I'd put it on that.
I mean, I'm very concerned for you know, immediately yesterday, I went looking for what was, you know, I like to get a pulse of things, so I was looking to see what people were tweeting about. yesterday after the official DACA announcement came. And I was looking in particular, there's a lot of organizations were tweeting out information. United We Dream on Twitter was sharing a lot of information of, you know, okay, you have until October 5th to file this paper. If you haven't done it, please do it today. We can help you. You know, they were tweeting out. And what I was really interested in, and really, I can't stop thinking about it, to be honest with you, were a lot of replies to that account from young people talking about despair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so concerned for the mental health of a lot of young people right now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
In particular, you know, imagine being a young person in one of the areas just impacted in the Gulf by Hurricane Harvey. You've been through some traumatic shit, and now you've just gotten a lot more traumatic shit.
Right.
And I think it's trauma in a whole different way, because, like, Harvey's done and it's about rebuilding now. This is like I don't know, because I'm not in those shoes, but I have to believe there would be a just pervasive sense of fret or anxiety or fear and overwhelm and I think betrayal to like live your, you know, come into adulthood in this country and have the rug pulled out from under you is disgusting. It's disgusting and it's cruel and
all of those things.
It's all of those things, and yeah. I'm very concerned for the mental health of young people right now.
Yeah, because again, you know, I know that people who think this is a good idea do not either willingly or just because they don't give a crap put themselves in that position. It's such a bizarre set of circumstances. It's hard, I think, for anybody to put themselves in that situation, because what people forget is that most of these young people, they grew up, they don't know. It's not like they grew up in Mexico or wherever and then moved and then, you know, were snuck in here
you're essentially
a suitcase. I mean, you know, like most of them, this is all they know. They don't have it's not like there's a home for them to go back to. So they are, for all intents and purposes, they are Americans who are suddenly being told you might be kicked out of the country soon
and to
some place that you don't even
have
roots in or know anything about,
and possibly have no way to support yourself.
Right. I mean,
and in some cases, is a dangerous place.
Exactly.
Where
exactly.
You might be trafficked. Where you might have female genital mutilation, you might be married, you might be killed, you might be, like, horrible shit might happen.
Right.
And that's traumatic to a human being to have to walk around thinking that, especially a young person.
Right.
To be walking around thinking that, like, imagine last week you were thinking about where am I going to apply to college, and this week you're like, if I get deported to that place, I'm going to probably be killed.
Yeah.
Or trafficked or some horrible fucking fate. That's disgusting and inhumane.
Yeah. Think about a little kid who, this could go either way, a little kid grew up in the city, and then you take that kid out into the country and they're like, what the? And then they see stars for the first time and they're like, oh my God, it's like a whole different world. Like, it just, you know, everything changes because all they ever knew was the city, or vice versa. You grow up in the, you know, country and then you come into the city and it's overwhelming.
But then potentially add in,
right, but
perhaps not something idyllic and pretty like
seeing
stars.
Right. No.
Maybe
I mean,
you don't even speak the language of the country where you've just been dropped off in.
Right. No, but
you have nowhere to go.
Yeah, no, of course. But my point was that just that lack of recognition, just that part of it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, because that's what people miss, I think, is the idea that this is what these young people know, period. It isn't like, you know, again, it's not like they have recollections of growing up elsewhere. I mean, they speak English. They've grown up here. Their friends are here. They've started careers. They've gone to school. And it's just, it is every bit as much as if they just randomly were to pluck a bunch of any Americans and just say, you're out of here. We're going to toss you in, you know, you're of German descent, we're tossing you over here. Where you're of, you know, you're from Mexico, we're tossing, you're from South America, you're going over here. You're from Cuba, you're going, whatever. I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's, and it is profoundly cruel. And to even attempt to put yourself into those shoes it's complicated, but my God, I mean, just to imagine being, even if it doesn't happen, and you know, they can, and that's the problem too, is it, I think a lot of people, a lot of Republicans are like, oh, don't worry, this is, we're going to take care, we'll figure something out. That still is unsettling, okay? Right. That doesn't necessarily mean...
We see how well you guys handled some other shit.
We're rescinding this program that keeps you from getting
but
deported.
But don't... Trust us.
Everything... Because, again, this isn't like, trust us, we're going to lower your taxes, or trust us, you know, we're going to get... Even, you know, we're going to get some aid to you because you've just experienced a hurricane.
You've given us no reason.
Right. It's worse than all of those things. Yeah. I mean, because by leaps and bounds, because it's like, trust us, we're not going to completely and utterly destroy your life and everything you know.
We're going to do it with compassion.
Right. It's just nuts. It's nuts, and it makes no sense. There's no financial motivation. There's no majority of Americans pushing for it. There is absolutely no reason for it. It's stupid. If you want to keep it in place and figure out a pathway to make these young people citizens, God bless, but there's no reason to stop this program. There's no reason. It's pointless.
There's no reason to disrupt lives and traumatize the shit.
And you're going
to
traumatize them.
And criminalize 800,000 people.
And this is what's happened with everything. The Muslim ban. It didn't do anything except make Muslim people feel others.
Otherness,
like bad.
Yeah.
The border wall. It's isolationist. Makes Mexican people feel like they're all immigrants. They're all criminals. The transgender ban. It's fucking up all kinds of transgender people, whether they're in the military or not, by making them question how they're viewed. And it's all of it. It's just mean and it's pointless.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. So this has been Guth and Huppy on Politics. It's time for us to sign off.
On that note.
Be cool to each other. You guys, I think it's...
Hug a journalist.
Forget us. Hug each other. I hate to be emotional about it, but like I see us sinking deeper and deeper, and I think we're just going to have, we can't wait for anyone to save us. We just need to do it alone, person to person, is what I think about that. So be good to each other and try not to be a fucking asshole on Twitter just for like a day. That's the favor I'm asking of you.
Cool.
Okay, then. Guth and Huppy on Politics. We'll see you next time.